This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samuel Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
So, it's a ministry just of use today. We're going to be having a series of teachings on mentorship. So just try to do this basics of mentorship, part one. I never thought we'll get here, as a ministry, because I really don't look that far ahead. I just take it day by day. In the last few days, the Lord began to speak to me about how to deepen fellowship and how to bring many more people into the knowledge of God. We brought a lot of people my way since the convention. I think I've had over 19 different meetings with people, and it was all tending in one direction. I listened to the Lord when He speaks to me the way I speak now, when He speaks to me through the waves of things that He will bring to me to handle. So I pay attention a lot, especially when I've spent some serious time in His presence. I open my eyes, I open my ears, and then I pay attention to the events that will begin to unfold immediately after a meeting, like a retreat or a convention and things like that, or personal retreat. Usually, the Lord will then orchestrate certain things to happen over and over and over and over again until I begin to get sense of what he's saying, and then he'll begin to talk to me about it so that it would come to a place where it would make sense. So the Lord said to me that every quarter of the year for the past 5 years, he would bring in hundreds of people to be trained in PSSBC. And oftentimes, sometimes you have up to 200 or 250 people that will register and that would indicate interest, not register. And then at the end of the day, maybe we have 80 that will register and all the others will just remove them from the WhatsApp group. And then another quarter will come. I'll make the announcement for PSSBC, another 200 may register, another 100 may make the cuts, another 100 will go. So at first, I would encourage that, okay, let everybody go do COZ, because COZ, Citizen of Zion School, is free. And so then we can let go of those who can't make the cut for PSSBC. And that formula was working until the Lord then said to me that, what about all those who are letting go of? And I began to ask him, okay, so what do I do? And the Lord said to me, the feet of many will not be stable until they learn how to lead others. God showed me a vision of a shepherd with a lot of with his flock. They wanted to cross a river, and there was a very tiny bridge on the river. The shepherd crossed it, but none of the sheep followed. The shepherd crossed back to the sheep and then crossed it again. And none of the sheep followed. They didn't trust him enough to follow him. And then the shepherd took one sheep, just one, and he pushed that one on the bridge and followed it. And as the sheep saw that the shepherd was behind it. The sheep began to take a step after the other. And then all the others, as soon as they saw that one of them had first, all of them just followed. They said, the Lord began to speak to me about mentorship. He said, oh, it is not good to raise unstable lights. People cannot raise people, cannot be stable. Do not raise perpetual babies. Leadership is about raising others. Do not raise perpetual babies. Leadership is about raising others. He said, many of the people that are complaining about being troubled about one issue or the other now, it is because you have not given them the capacity to raise and lead others. And so I decided this is our, I believe, this is our 6th year as a ministry. And the Lord already told me great things that happened in our 7th year. So the Lord wants us to do a lot of, to design a system of mentorship so that individuals will begin to mentor individuals. Those who are already working in this reality will begin to mentor those who are learning this reality. It will not just be attending classes, it will also be helping them to navigate the paths of life so that their life can become better. However, without adequate training, most people do not really know what mentorship is. If I just tell somebody, oh, mentor this person, I've seen mentorship go wrong at many levels. Some people, once they have a mentor, they stop living their life. They turn the mentor to the pilot of their life. If they want to take a step, it's mentor. They want to go here, they call their mentor. They want to do this, they call their mentor. That is not mentorship. Mentorship is not relinquishing control of your own reality so that somebody else comes to govern your life for you while you sit down without being able to make decisions that will affect your own life and reality. And some mentors, they think that because they are mentors, their duty is just to be giving instructions. Do this, you must do this. And that's not what mentorship also is. Mentorship is leadership, but it is the kind of leadership that inspires the led to begin to lead. The kind of leadership that inspires the person you are leading to take the initiative in leadership so that he begins to lead himself while you just stand behind him or her and you just watch as the person takes his or her step. Most people think mentorship will be that they will lead and that their mentee will follow. No. Your mentee leads. Because he's following his path. But because you are much taller and more experienced, and you're also living your life, you can easily guide. It's like a parent that is taking two or three children out, or 4 children. So I've seen this abroad. I laughed. I saw a somebody who tied at the airport, the person tied waist belt around 3 children. Sorry. It's funny to me. And then he tied them to a box. So they were going in front and the man was going behind and the box was in between. And I laughed because I know what it means to lead 3 children. I know how they can basically just scatter your life. But this person devised a means of making the children go in front, tie the 3 of them to the one box, and then she held the box while she carried another baby in her hand. And 4 of them were going peacefully in the airport towards the departure. I was just laughing when I saw that. Because that's also a kind of mentorship, right? But you have to understand, the 3 children will have to face their own destiny. And he has to guide them. The four children were now, but three were the ones that were old enough to give her a lot of issues. And so that is similar to what mentorship is. And the reason I'm teaching this today, and I'll teach it also for a few more days on Sundays like this, so that you are prepared as you would begin to handle mentorship roles going forward. As a minister or as a member of the ministry. All right. So, what is mentorship? According to the biblical definition, mentorship is not something you learn through the use of Western ideologies and ideas. It is making yourself the subject of another person's interests. It is opening yourself up to somebody that is much younger and helping the person through your experience and through your knowledge, helping the person navigate life easier and better, helping the person with their mindset, helping the person with their worldview, helping the person's belief system, helping the person's decision-making process, helping the person live a better life. This would then suggest to you that when you mentor somebody, you don't tell them this is what to do. Your job is to update their software that they may perform optimally as they go about living their lives. That's the job of a mentor. When you notice the way Apostle Paul mentored Timothy, Titus, Epaphras, Silas. When you notice the way Apostle Paul himself was mentored by Barnabas, and you notice the way Barnabas left Apostle Paul during their second missionary trip to follow John Mark when Apostle Paul and John Mark had their fight, and Apostle Paul said John Mark was unreliable, that during their first trip, John Mark abandoned them. Right in the middle of the missionary trip, I think the guy was homesick or seasick, and the guy went back to Jerusalem. And Apostle Paul was appointed in him because he left a lot of he left his duty post and he didn't fulfill his obligation. So when they were going for their second mission trip, John Mark wanted to follow them, and Apostle Paul said no, but Barnabas said yes. So, John Mark sneaked into the ship, sneaked or snuck into the ship without Apostle Paul's knowledge. They had gone halfway to Europe when Apostle Paul discovered that John Mark was on the ship. And Apostle Paul said, "No way, this guy is not coming with us." And Barnabas tried to reason with Apostle Paul. "Let me take on this young man. He made a mistake the first time. Let me help him the way I helped you." And Apostle Paul said, "No, I do not want him. He's unreliable. He's undependable. I do not want him." And Barnabas said, "Please, he's a young man. He made this mistake. You've also been young once. You made your mistakes. Let me help you." Apostle Paul said, "No." And Barnabas realized that Apostle Paul had matured. Apostle Paul didn't need him anymore. But John Mark needed him. So Barnabas told Apostle Paul, "Okay, you are not fit to lead others. See? But this young man has nobody to lead him, nobody to mentor him, nobody to help his thinking. So I'll part ways with you. I will go with John Mark. You can then pick somebody else to train in this field of salvation. And that was how Barnabas and Paul parted ways. Barnabas parted ways with Paul, not out of acrimony or anger, but because he had it in his heart to mentor, to disciple somebody else who had a shaky character, and who Barnabas believed with the right kind of mentorship would become steady. It is true that we didn't read the account of the exploits of John Mark in the Bible after he left Paul. But when you look at biblical history, John Mark was the missionary and Barnabas were the first to land in India. They took the gospel to India first, and they went from there to other parts of Asia that even Apostle Paul couldn't go to because God constrained him. What am I saying? It is part of Christian development to take up mentorship role and to take on mentees. It is, however, a very honorable thing to do. It is only fitting for mature Christians to disciple or mentor others. We have seen mentors who take advantage of their mentees. That is not to be in Christendom. When I started speaking with us, I said, I never thought we'll get there. Not simply because I felt we are still babies. I thought so. Maybe in the next 10 years, we'll get to that point where we'll be steady, and then we can begin to take on prospects. Because again, your Christianity, your Christian walk is incomplete without it. A few weeks ago, I got a call from my mentor. So many people, I don't talk about people in that realm. I'm deliberate about it. Because again, it is in the world that people begin to carry mentor on their head and they want to, I don't celebrate my mentor, my friend, I don't. Mentors are often in the background. You will not even know they are there. And I'm saying this now so that many of us, when you begin to take on mentees, you will not want public glorification. It is carnal to want somebody to be shouting your name up and down, that without him, I remember it is carnal, this old Christian. That's the truth. So I have a mentor, and he's a Baptist man. I've known him since I was in the university years ago. There is no move I have made that I didn't share with him. It's in Abuja. Once in a while, he will just reach out. How are you doing? How is this? How is that? We will talk. He will reach out. Your younger ones, those are his own children. Your younger ones are, this one is in university, this one is here, this one is there. We sometimes just talk for 20 minutes. Sometimes we chat for, and after that, he will just let me be. He does not put his nose into my affairs. When I left the Baptist church, it did not because I left Baptist church. He didn't leave me. His mentorship had nothing to do with my denomination, the church I was attending, who my pastor was, why did you go to Redeem, why did you say, no, nothing like that. That's what a mentor is. His duty is to watch over my life, not my decisions. If you get what I just said, can I see your hand? Just want one or two people to tell me that they can hear me. If you get what I just said, thank you. So it has everything to do with my life, just to make sure that, because I said, the mentor is behind, the mentees are in front. You must let the mentees follow their own path. You will not tell them, oh, I became a lawyer, you must be a lawyer, or this is what I know, this is what you must do. That's not mentorship. That's, you cannot take over somebody else's life and begin to rule the person by proxy. So this person I knew when I was an undergraduate, and he would often invite me to his office, we'll sit down, we just talk about life. He became my mentor systematically. He didn't, there was no official, you are a mentor, mentee, the discussion, like me going to him and saying, I want you to be my mentor, all those things. There wasn't like that. It's one of those things I love about it. Somebody taking an interest in someone and the person just knowing that in his own heart, this is what he is doing. But I, at that time, I just considered him like a big uncle, a big brother, you know? Somebody that when we're on campus together, when I'm broke, I can just go to somebody and say, I'm hungry. So just say, oh, yeah, look at my drawer. There is biscuits, there is coke. Me too, I'm working, you know? Somebody that if I wanted to watch video on campus, I can just sneak into his house and say, where's my movie start? I did not consider. Let's watch this movie. We just, and before I know it, it's a relationship that has spanned over 20 years now. And he would reach out. He follows me on Twitter. He reads all my posts. When there is a discussion, when I have a take on something that he doesn't even know, he would have it and say, Samuel, I saw your post, so teach me that, teach me that. And then I'll then call him, then talk about it. But then say, wow, you saw that, oh, this happened, this happened. And once in a while, he will sneak into a prophetic service. He will listen. He will then discuss some things with me. Even when he's facing challenges, he would come into our service. He will not say, I'm his mentor, I'm his father. I cannot, because he's not my father, my mentor. My father is in heaven. And that's the truth. I'm saying this so that, and I'm trying to make it quite light, so you get it, that mentorship is saving life. That nobody needs to take a notebook and begin to write down stuff you are saying if you are a mentor. You are supposed to make it life. Oh, did you attend classes? What did you discuss in person this yesterday? Because one of the things that I wanted is that as we teach the SSBC, that my the students that I teach now, I can say our number is much. On free zone, we'll soon hit 500 on free zone. 500. And we are not going to stop. We are going to keep increasing. That is the word of God. So therefore, we have to devise a way to raise people, give them visibility, and ensure that their hands are steady. Because I realized I was at the administration on Friday, and I was calling people on the altar to come and minister. And I realized all the people I was calling were people I know. There are a lot of people in that crowd that are done PSSBC that I don't know their names. And that became concerning to me. I was like, oh my God, I'm calling the people I know, but there are so many people who had also gone through the process, who are fusion together, who will be looking at me, and they'll be expecting me to call them to come, and I didn't even know their name because we have grown. So we have to find a way to bridge that gap. We have to find a way to give everybody visibility. We have to find a way to promote our mentees so that we will say, oh, Brabinga, there's a ministration like the one we are having today. Your mentees should be, yeah, come for this ministration. You are going to minister today. So you will then be the one to bring the mentees and say, we are going to this place at Okota to minister. You must be there. And then when I call for ministers, you will be the one to say, you push your mentees forward, that they should come and minister, that they should lay hand, they should do these things. Because I realize now that because of our number, when I look at the crowd, I do not know who has done PSSBC from who has not, except those that I already know. And that will put people at a disadvantage who are supposed to also minister and gain confidence and begin to run their own ministries. So those are the things we are going to learn and talk about for a few weeks, so that we can all go back to these classes and gained perspective. Being a mentor does not mean you have to help somebody pay their debts. No, for mentees, when they come to you, they come with all their life problem. They expect you to just write them a check. They want to use mentee sense. You know what they call mentee sense? It's my mentor, so you should come and carry on my life problem. That is not mentorship. If you pay the person's debt off, the person will continue to go into debt. You have not helped the person. Like I said, you stay far off. You watch. Being a mentor does not mean you tell somebody, "Oh, this is why this is." No, if you notice certain things, you course correction, discussion, a call, and all that, you can just write the person's step, but you will not get involved, and your mentees are not topics to be discussed or to be ridiculed. If you have little children, you can talk about your children. So, this is my aunt and this is someone, I can talk about my children, but not in a ridiculing, not in a gossipy, I'm a father. And so that's also a mentor's role, that you observe and that you guide, that you help certain thinking. When you notice somebody has a system of thinking, I was at SLA on Friday. We had a very wonderful service. We came out of service, and then this guy came to meet me. He wanted prayer. I was so disappointed. Why? Because I knew that the guy did prayer services for 26. And usually I measure people. If you came to me, the first time I met him, he said, "But Adinga, what I want is power." And I said, "Make sure you attend classes. Make sure you're in class for school 26." And he said he would be in class. So I knew he'd be 26. And of all the people that were there, we had people that are in their 20s, people that are meeting me for the first time were many. Service was so powerful. When I was leaving, nobody followed me, except this person. Three people came, himself and his wife, and one other person. I was disappointed. Why? Because again, that mindset of pray for me, which I had always fought against from day one, that this thing does not make you grow. That is the mindset he still has, which means he didn't attend SSBC classes at all. And that means the gap of a mentor was showing. Because if you had a mentor who discusses these things with him, what did you learn in class yesterday? Did you go out for evangelism? Did you pray for anybody? If there was somebody that was doing that, it would have become steady. It wouldn't be coming to me to say, "Come and pray for me." Yeah, after I've done an all night and I was so tired, like it was 3 a.m. in the morning, and we've been standing, we've done communion service from there. I moved to Sule, and people don't even consider your own well-being. I didn't even consider my own well-being that I needed to rest. He still came to me after, but I didn't. I just basically, I prayed with him. But after that, he wanted to start telling me story. I told him, no, please. I don't want to hear anything. I've prayed with you. If your faith cannot hold the prayer, let it hold something else. But I am going home. I have things to do. I need to sleep." Again, I noticed that if there was mentorship, that lacuna wouldn't be there. So we are going to get into that stage now where we'll begin to mentor those who are coming into the reality of faith. I'm mentoring them not to give them advice, no advice of leave your wife or leave your husband. Your husband is bad, nothing like that. That's not mentorship. And like I said, I've also enjoyed the benefit of a mentor. I've gone through life, and my mentor has always been maybe 300 or 400 yards behind. He's watching, but he will stay far. And he will be watching me from, he will tell me, sometimes he will say, "You are not an apostle. Pray for me." Oh. And I will say, "Okay, Abiola, let's pray." And then we'll pray. He knows, he appreciates the grace, he appreciates the anointing, but he also knows that he has a role to play in helping me to stay grounded. And that is the role of a mentor. Mentorship is not something you do for 2 minutes. It's a long-term commitment towards making the life of your mentee more successful than it would have been if you are not in the picture. I pray with you today that more than you have learned in this class, you will know. As you train others, you'll become better. That the glory of God will give you the kind of wisdom that comes with mentoring others until you begin to mentor. And you begin to get people on the steady course. Sometimes you yourself will find yourself floundering. You will no longer flounder. you'll be strengthened. Thank you, Father. I bless the Lord because over your life and your destiny, as you begin to take on people to teach them and show them the way of salvation, you will have clarity. The word of God will come to you expressly. And the lives you touch shall be transformed. You will make great impact and transform many destinies. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you are blessed, please submit and shout, Glory! Glory!
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content and teachings. God bless you.